You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome in again, MLB.com Extras, the Seattle Mariners edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Greg Johns. And Greg, it's just one of those things, early part of the season, and we're we see a move, Mariners trading to get Wellington Castillo, adding to some of their catching depth. What did you make of that move?
It kind of surprised me, mostly giving up Medina, who I think is a pretty nice reliever, but a guy that had sent down to AAA a couple weeks ago. So wasn't expecting them to go that way, but when I think about it, there's a pretty logical sense there. Their catching depth is behind Mike Zunino. They just don't have a lot of experience there, and if something happened, I just think they thought, boy, we're going to be shorthanded. And even with Zunino, he hasn't hit real well. Sucre really not much of an offensive catcher. So as much as their offense has struggled, they're just looking for a backup catcher who can give them a little more pop, a little more threat, a little more experience. So they haven't made that move with Sucre. As we speak here on Tuesday, Castillo winging his way from San Diego to Baltimore to join the team. And when he does, I expect the move obviously would be to send Sucre down to Tacoma, which a little better depth down there, and a little more of a backup guy who can be used. Sucre had only played 6 out of the first 37 games. Real good defensive catcher, but just not much. They're hitting 067, on a team that's looking for bats, Castillo a little bit of an upgrade there, and I think that's where that move comes from.
And over his career, he has shown a little power, about a 250 hitter, I guess, but I don't know, ironically or oddly enough, he's been struggling, I think, this year at the plate. So, I don't know, maybe this is where it clicks for Wellington Castillo as well. How much time do you suspect he'll be getting?
Well, that'll be interesting. He wasn't getting a lot of time in Chicago. Obviously, he had been the starting catcher quite a bit the two previous years, but lost that job this year and was the number three guy, not getting a lot of playing time and not hitting real well, but small sample there, 43 at-bats, and as you mentioned, a 250 career hitter for the Cubs and with some pop. But how much will he play? I think more than Sucre, I would guess. I just think they can't wear out Zunino quite as much as they have. And Zunino has shown with a day off or two, he's come back pretty strong. It kind of helped him out the last week. He had 2 days off in a row, came back, and hit a homer, went, I think it was 3-4 in a game. It's probably his best game of the year. So sometimes, it's tough. Catching is a grind. And Zunino, the young guy, certainly can carry the load, but you don't want to kill your guy. And certainly, offensively, could use a break here and there and see if he can get himself squared away. So, I would guess Castillo will be playing a couple times a week, certainly, whereas Sucre is playing once at the most. I definitely see him playing a little more than Sucre. Shoot if he hits, and this is a team that can use some help offensively throughout the lineup. So that would be remain to be seen how he swings the bat when he gets there.
What about Medina? I mean, you have a kind of a power right-handed arm, 26 years old. You trade him off. I guess if you felt like you had a lot of depth in that regard, or a similar couple of arms to his, that would give you that flexibility there. Is that the case with Medina, or was it just something they felt like they needed? They really had to do whatever they had to do to go out there and get Castillo.
Yeah, I asked Jack Zerzik that this morning for my story on Mariners.com, and he said, "Hey, we don't like to give up pitching. Nobody does. You never have enough, and that was not an easy decision. They do have more pitching depth, though. They do have some young arms and Carson Smith and obviously Danny Farquhar, Tom Wilhelmson, Mark Lowe, now not a young arm, a guy they brought up. So Medina was in AAA. I did give him depth there, but this is a team that seems to have been able to come up with bullpen pieces, and it's never a limitless deal, but they do have more depth there than they do behind the plate at this point. So you'd like to give up a young arm, 26 years old, no, you don't, but sometimes you got to make a move, and they felt this was the one to make.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, things on the field have been going a little bit better for the Mariners. They've won 6 of the last 9, and, it's been about Nelson Cruz pretty much all year long. So I guess that made it even more fun to see Brad Miller have such a, you know, a big week. He's named American League Player of the Week. And maybe that's, you know, as we all kind of search for those signs, those indications that maybe the worm's going to turn just a little bit, maybe that's a sign there for the Mariners.
They Brad is an interesting story, and we've talked about him before here. You know, lost the starting shortstop job, but seems to have found a niche moving around a little bit. And if he keeps swinging the bat, they're going to find a way to play him. As you mentioned, AL Player of the Week, hit three homers in the last two games of the homestand and four in the last five. Not a guy known for big power, but pretty good pop for a shortstop. And heck, they've been playing with DH, and he's given him pretty good production there. They played him game out in left field. He's kind of starting to get his feet wet out there, and he's played a couple games at shortstop, working in with Chris Taylor there. You know, Lloyd says this is my vision. This is a guy that can. He's athletic. He can move around. He can help us, and he swings a nice left-handed bat. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that can give them a lift. They certainly can use, like I said, you know, a stick wherever they can get it at this point. Nelson Cruz cannot do this by himself. And if Brad keeps hitting, he's going to be in the lineup somewhere. So, yeah, they had him leading off the other last game of the homestand. He's been hitting second quite a bit. He's an interesting guy. He's certainly handled the position change well. I mean, losing his job at shortstop, this is a guy who says, I am a shortstop. He's been a shortstop since he was 6 years old. He's never really played much else. And he still thinks of himself as a shortstop, but he says, hey, I'm a baseball player. I want to be in the lineup, you know, wherever I am. I'm going to do my best I can that day. And he's certainly taking it head on and doing everything he can to stay in there. So it'll be interesting when they bring back Austin Jackson coming off the DL here, and they're going to have to make a roster move. It'll be interesting to see kind of where they go and how that shuffles things probably here in the next few days. But where Brad ends up at that point will remain to be seen. But certainly making a case for himself to be in the lineup.
Yeah, what a nice little stretch he's on. I have to say, one of my favorite players in the big league, Ben Zobrist. You know, that super sub guy who's just so productive no matter where you put him. You know, you think back to Mark McLemore-type players. And, hey, who knows? Maybe Brad Miller ends up becoming that kind of a guy. But, you know the other big piece, I think, for the Mariners in this you know, last week and a half, 2 weeks, has to be James Paxton starting to maybe put some things together a little bit on the mound.
Well, no doubt. I mean, and he's a guy, there's a reason he opened the season the number two guy in the rotation. And when he pitches, when he's been healthy, he's been outstanding. And big left-hander coming out over the top, he's tough. And the first two games out of the gate just wasn't quite clicking for him. He's a big, long, lanky guy, and sometimes it takes a little bit to get that mechanics squared away and straight, and didn't have a long spring. He had some health problems in spring, so he'd only pitched a couple times at the end of spring, and it just took a little while to get going. Now that he is, boy, he's been lights out, and each shutout innings against the Red Sox in his last batting, hasn't given up a run in 20 innings, the longest streak in the major leagues right now. So that's a guy that they had projected between Felix and Iwakuma. And then Iwakuma got hurt, and Paxton kind of struggled. So the top of the rotation wasn't quite what they hoped coming out of the gates. But certainly now it's Felix being lights out and Paxton pitching as well as he is. That's kind of getting squared away, and they got a nice boost from Brandon Salias filling in for Iwakuma. And now Taiwan Walker has been better his last couple starts. So J.A. Happ has been one of the surprise stories of the league. So that rotation definitely back to kind of being what they expect as the backbone of this team.
Yeah, and as long as you've got that, you should be in pretty good shape. I do think it's funny, Greg. I mean, week after week, we talk about this team and addressing one issue or another. And, you know, a name we almost never really discuss, I mean, not at any length anyway, is Robinson Cano. I mean, and here's a guy who really should be quite the focal point for this team, whether it be good or bad, and this year he's just kind of been, I mean, you know, the one home run doesn't do it for me. The .250 average is not doing it. And yet I don't know that he's killing this team, but, well, they could use something out of him.
Well, they certainly could, and really it has kind of gone under the radar, largely I think because Nelson Cruz has come in and just done so well. It's kind of taken a little bit of the highlight or the focus off of Cano. And if a year ago, you know, everything was about Robinson Cano. This year it's kind of been about Nelson Cruz. But the ideal, obviously, is for Cano to be Cano and Cruz to be hitting behind him. And Cano hasn't been Cano. He's four for his last 27. His average dropped down to about 250, and that's not something you expect from Robinson Cano. He's the guy, as Lloyd McLennan will keep saying, you look at the book, that's where Robinson will end up. That book has changed a little bit, though. He doesn't have quite the same home run power. I mean, he had 13 homers last year. He's had one this year out of the gate. But you know, I did go back and look at that book, and it wasn't until May 21st last year that he hit his second homer. So he didn't get off to a big power start last year. But at the same time, at that point, he was hitting 326 and pretty high on base percentage. Those numbers aren't quite there this year. I expect his averages to come up. He's too good a hitter to be hitting 250. I certainly think if the weather warms, he will. He's hit a ton of doubles. He's got 12 doubles, one of the most of the Mariners, I think, fourth in the league. So he's had a couple he's rung off the top of the wall that, you know, another foot or two, probably home run. So it's not like he's, you know, fading. It's not like he's, you know, disappearing from the world. He's certainly still a capable hitter, but I think that they need to see more from him. I think they will see more from him, and when they do, I think that that's going to make a huge difference in that lineup, because that's a guy they built around, and they still are. It's him and Cruz and Seager should be the core of that lineup, and I think if the weather warms, those other two guys are going to heat up. I think this East Coast trip is a nice chance. A lot of guys hit a little better when they get back in Baltimore, Toronto, Tampa. Those are nice parks, so I think this should be a good trip for them.
Yeah, well, I suspect we're going to be talking a whole lot more about him at some point this summer. It's just amazing we talk so little about him. Well, Greg, as always, appreciate the time. Nice early morning trade action for you. Just keep plugging, man, and we'll do it again next week.
You got it, Dave. Good talking baseball with you.
Right on. Greg Johns, MLB.com Extras, the Seattle Mariners edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.